alcoholic. I had a six-figure income, owned my own home. I had a car phone. I used ice cubes, for God's sake. Everyone knows an alcoholic, at least one that had to go to AA, is a skid row bum in a dirty raincoat, drinking from a brown paper bag. So each time you read that part in Chapter 5 of the Big Book that says, if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, my ears closed. You had the disease of alcoholism, and the last thing I wanted was to be an alcoholic. Eventually, you talked about my feelings in the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous until I could no longer close my ears. I heard women, beautiful, successful women in recovery, talk about the things they had done while drinking, and I would think, I did that, or I did worse than that. Then I began to see the miracles that happen only in AA. People who would nearly crawl in the doors, sick and broken, and who, in a few weeks of meetings and not drinking one day at a time, would get their health back, find a little job and friends who really cared, and then discover a God in their lives. But the most compelling part of AA, the part that made me want to try this sober thing, was the laughter, the pure joy of the laughter that I heard only from sober alcoholics. Still, the thought of getting sober terrified me. I hated the woman I had become, a compulsive, obsessive daily drinker, not dressing on weekends, always afraid of running out of alcohol. I'd start thinking about a drink by noon and would leave the office earlier and earlier. Or promising myself that I wouldn't drink that night, I'd invariably find myself in front of the refrigerator with a drink in my hand, vowing